theme this year was prepare the way of the Lord, as you can see out of Isaiah 40. And Paul, I said, I just don't know what to do as far as decorating. And I just had no ideas. And so she came up with this beautiful idea, and I'd like for you, it's very, very prophetic. I mean, it was just beautiful. I'd love for you to come up. We have a sample of it here. Alyssa, can you help Pauline? So we're going to start off with this. And I'll hold the mic for you. Should I hold this too?
Sure.
Okay. So we hand cut all of these arrows representing all of the places that are mentioned in Isaiah 40, the crooked places, the rough places, high places, and the low places. And they're all represented on these maps. And these were on our tables. And in the middle of that, we had the world globe, which under that was a candle, because each of us, whether we realize it or not, influence everyone around us. And that is what we worked on, making straight a highway in all of these places. And this highway I found on Amazon, and it actually has representations of neighborhoods along the edges of it. So I put each of these on the tables, and then on each table I included a sign that we normally see. This is a regular thing for all of us who travel or drive. And just representations. As I made these, I thought about it and just had to laugh because the Lord gave me things. The railroad sign, of course, some of us feel like we've been in a train wreck. And so this just represents, you know, being careful and even realizing when we are in that train wreck that God is still at work in our lives. The stop sign, of course, that's pretty self-explanatory, stop. It could be stopping a habit, stopping something that you shouldn't be doing, or it can say, stop and smell the roses. Be still and wait a while. So this is the curve, and I thought about that this morning, and it just represents faith. Those curves in our lives, we don't know what's around the next corner, but we have faith that God is in control. And, whoa, stand up there. And then we have a traffic signal, and there are two types of people who approach traffic signals. Those who hurry up so they can beat the red light, and those who slow way down. But I thought about, you know, this green represents the go in our lives. God gives us green lights to go. He gives us caution lights when we need to be cautioned about things in our lives, and he gives us red lights when we need to stop again.
Amen.
Okay. The yield. Yield the right of way. And whose way is right? God's way. There you go. And then this was particularly fun for me. This is a no parking. And we talked about unforgiveness in our lives and the root of bitterness. And when we park in a certain place and stew and fret and, you know, think that God isn't working in our lives, we tend to become bitter. And then at the end of that verse, it says we influence many. That wasn't exactly the word, but it just stuck out to me this weekend that this is the no parking, don't park where you're not supposed to. And then for me also, it could be no pouting. So there you go. So we, not just as women, but all of us, influence those around us in different ways, and we can make straight the way of the Lord.
That's good.
So good. I told her, thank you, Pauline, that's just so beautiful. I told her I will never drive on the road the same again. And I hope you go back and listen, go back online and listen. And yeah, because it's such a great reminder. I think that'll prevent road rage, right? That will. But let's put that verse up, Ange. Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 5. Thank you. It says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So we just really focused on each one of those places. I mean, just think about it. You know, the Lord is calling in the desert. He's calling to you in your lonely places right now, in that place in your heart that's dry and needs him. And he's calling, and he says, prepare, prepare the way, prepare your heart so that I can come and sit and sup with you. What does he say? Knock, right? And the door will be open to you. I'll come in and we'll be in communion. He says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then he gives us, like, what we're supposed to do. He said, let every valley be raised up. That means all the low places be raised up. And every mountain and hill be made low. Rough ground needs to be level. And rugged places need to be smooth. And it just hit me. Each one of those places, they represent things in our heart. We could say the low places that need to be raised up, that could maybe represent insecurity. You know, maybe failure. Maybe you're struggling with, just like what we sang about today, all these voices, you're nothing, you're nobody. Just have low self-esteem. You're depressed. You're fearful. You're discouraged. You feel worthlessness. Those are the low places. And the word says Jesus wants to raise them up. So the Lord wants to be our shepherd in those areas. He wants to nurture us. He wants to heal us. He wants to say, look up, my son. Look up, my daughter. He lifts us up out of the miry clay. In Psalm 42, it says that. He lifts us up out of the slimy pit. And he sets our feet on a rock. And he gives us a firm place to stand. So those of us that were dealing with low places, the Lord filled us up. And we made a straight path so that he could come in and be our shepherd. Maybe the high places in our lives, the mountains, the hills, maybe that represents unforgiveness. You're just high and mighty. You're full of pride. You don't want to bend. You know, you have these lofty ideas. You think that you know better than God. Anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, that's rebellion. You're hard. And then you build all these walls around yourself. And you keep God out and you keep people out. They become strongholds. And then you get these antichrist mentalities. You become rebellious. The Lord says those high places, they need to be brought low. So you need to recognize Jesus as your Lord. Jesus wants to be your Lord. You need to surrender those places to him in your heart. 1 Peter 5:6, we know this well. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And also, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So those high places, they need to be brought low. What about the crooked places, like on the sign? That I saw as like perversion. You know, perversion doesn't just mean sexual sins. It means twisted thinking. Anything that's totally opposite of what God says, that's perversion. You have distorted viewpoints. Of course, immorality, sexual impurity, addictions, all those things. Even like thinking of yourself less than yourself. That's a distorted viewpoint. And they're crooked. The Lord wants to make them straight. He wants to be your restorer. Amen. In Matthew 5:8, it said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. He wants to help you see in a different way. He wants to restore the way that you think, the way that you see, back to its original design. Yes. Those crooked places need to be straight. And then the last would be the rough, the rugged places. I mean, some of us have just had a hard time, right? Life has been rough, and that's made us hard. That's made our souls rocky.
when we hear the word, it can't grow. Like the parable of the sower, you know, the seed falls onto rocky soil. It grows for a little bit, but it can't. We've had such maybe terrible pasts, maybe failed relationships. Maybe people have treated us badly, and we're so affected by that. We become hard. We're rocky. The Lord, He wants to be your peace. He wants to be your peace. He wants to set you free from the shame of your past so that your future can be smooth. And it was just so amazing. In Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus, the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And so we just talked about those four areas in our life in detail, and we just sat and we let God, I mean, we called ourselves the messengers. It was Ricardo and I and Peggy and Betty. We were just the messengers. We would just open up the word and we would just teach it. And then we would be quiet and Alyssa would come and play. Ricardo, we'd play music. And we would just be quiet before the Lord and let Him just deal with those things in our heart. Because we want Him. We want Him. We want our hearts to be a welcoming place so that He can come and be comfortable. So we were like, Lord, come. And just rearrange the furniture, right? Rearrange, move the couch or take that out or bring this in. Whatever you want to do, just rearrange those things in our heart. And He did that. He did that. He did it for me. I guess my testimony, well, first of all, I feel so much peace. I feel so good. You know, we talked about a tune-up, you know, when you take your car to the shop every so often, you know, and you find out, oh, wow, I didn't know this needed, you know, to be tuned up. I didn't know the brakes needed to be this or that. And so that's just what it was yesterday. We just came here for our spiritual tune-up, and there were some things that He showed us. And there was one person in my life that I needed to forgive, a really, really good friend of mine. And she's just going through a hard time. And so I just felt rejection. And I didn't even know that I was carrying that. I went over to Ricardo in the back booth, and I started crying. I said, I forgive her. And I didn't even know I had it, you know? I didn't even know that I was carrying that. So it was just so beautiful that we could come here, be in His presence, give Him some time, give Him some room. And He showed us. And there's no condemnation. He's like, come to the cross. We wrote some things down on a piece of paper, and we brought the Kathy shredder up here. We shredded them in front of the cross. We had some women then wash our hands as a representation that we are clean. I don't know, do you guys feel clean? I feel clean. I just feel so good, so clean. So I would like to give opportunity for some of the women that, well, I have a maybe list and I have a yes list. We'll try with the maybe list. I don't know. I got a maybe list. But one thing that we realized is we talked a lot about the woman caught in adultery and other women in the Bible. And Mary Magdalene, when, you know, she had seven demons and Jesus set her free and she followed Jesus to the end. I mean, and you read the end of Jesus' life and she's there. She's there at the tomb. She's there at the cross. I mean, she's everywhere. She's everywhere. And it's just so beautiful to us as women that Jesus chose to reveal Himself to her, a woman, the first person ever. And then He entrusted her, a woman, to go back and tell the disciples the good news. And so that's what I really challenged for me as well, to just whenever God does something amazing, we need to go out and share it. We need to be like Mary Magdalene. Go and tell the disciples. Now, some of the disciples didn't even believe, right? It doesn't matter if no one believes. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you are spreading the good news. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to give opportunity for these women to come and spread the good news. Not give glory to ourselves or even give glory to what we did, but we give glory to Jesus. Like what I read in Psalms. Let me read that again. Declare his glory among the nations. Declare his glory here among the people of God. His marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. So we just want to give God glory. Let's just do that right now as a congregation. Let's just lift our hands. Just open your mouth right now and just... Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So who would like to go first?
I'll go get it over.
Priscilla, there you go. Priscilla's on fire.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Well, I'm telling you, the weekend was just, before we started Friday, we all got together and prayed, and one of my prayer requests was to God to show up and show out. And let me tell you, he showed up and showed out. I'm Horace. I don't know why I'm Horace, but anyway. But this weekend was really awesome, and I think I can only speak for myself. God, what I got out this weekend, he opened my heart. He opened my heart. He broke chains. Like she said earlier, I guess I was holding on to some things that I thought I had let go, but I guess I didn't. And when we wrote down on the list, we got it shredded, and he gave me peace. He gave me more understanding of him. God loves us. I think it was Miss Peggy when she got up was saying sometime how we put God, the Holy Spirit, in a box. And I felt like I need to bust my box open. I like to just make this thing big as a flood of river. I need to let God just do what he want to do inside of me, use me like he want to use me. I say yes, God. I really do. And it was just chains broken. We got purified. I felt like I got purified again. And I was telling my friend Lodge, I was like, when I went home, I guess my body was tight, but spiritually I was just high as a kite. Even up to now, man, I feel like, like this morning of praise and worship, it's like, and I can still, say, it's still... here. It's still like, I thank everyone that spoke. Thank, what God gave y'all to give us. It was awesome. And I have a few testimonies, a few things I want to talk about. Tuesday at work. Lady came in. Her son used to work at Walmart, but he doesn't anymore. But she came in, and she's in there every day, and she speaks, and I give her a hug and everything, and she came and she started talking to me, and said, she had some things going on. And I said, okay. And I was listening, and the Holy Spirit just opened up for me to start witnessing to her. So I said, God won't put on you no more than we can bear, Just have to get. She said, yeah, I know, I used to, believe, I said, well, do you have a relationship with God? She said, yeah, I used to, but not really more. I said, well, would you like to have a relationship with God? She said, yeah, I like that. I said, okay. I said, okay, is it okay if we pray the prayer of salvation? And she said, I would like that. So, I prayed the prayer of salvation with her. Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that he died for our sins and he was raised in 3 days. And she did that. And then I gave her a little quick thing. I said, now, what you just did, the enemy going to try to attack you and, things, And don't think you're going to be perfect overnight because it doesn't work that way. Okay, salvation with the Lord walking relationship with God is from the beginning to the end that he comes home and take us. And I say, she said, okay. So she went home. I'm outside in front of the building, sweeping because the leaves had blown into the foyer. She come up crying. Miss Priscilla, I said, honey, what's wrong? She said, oh, I just hear things, and you sure we did this right, and you sure I'm saved. I said, hold on. I said, remember when you left the store, I told you that you was going to get attacked. And one thing I told her to say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, because he would try to get in your head. And that's what's going on with you. No, you saved. I don't care what you hear, what anyone say, you are a child of God. And she cried and hugged me again. I gave her my number. And I'm going to, you know, and I want y'all to pray for me, because I want to just put her under my wing. I want her, God, to use me to try to minister to her. Ain't no try. To minister to her, buy her a Bible, spend time with her. And she says she's going to come to church, and just keep her in prayer, you know. And then I have one more testimony. I'm going to sit down. All right. Matter of fact, all this happened, well, that was Wednesday, the next thing, because what, we supposed to meet you Thursday, right? Okay, well, Wednesday, I went to Walmart, and I was sitting in the parking lot, like, I'm hungry. So I said, I'm going to order me a pizza and go pick it up. So I called Domino's, order my pizza. He said, 15 minutes. I said, okay, I got time to go home, put my things up, and run right here on Prince Lane and get my pizza. So I go to get my pizza, coming out. Whew. Excuse me. As soon as I came out the store, and I was walking, a truck came so fast. And all I seen was the head of the truck. And I know it was God, because I had the pizza in my hand. The pizza went up in the air, and I kind of like turned like this way and hit my hand in the back of my thing. And I'm telling you, it was experience. I know it was God. And I... guy ran out the car. Ma'am, you okay? Do we need to call the police? Do we need to call the ambulance? I'm like, no, we don't need to call anybody. I just stopped crying and praising God, because I knew it was him. I knew it was him that saved me. Because if the truck would have hit me, I might not be standing here today. So I give God all the glory. And I've been, you know, and I was telling Kendra, you know, here in the past, within the past 6 months, almost a year, I hear God saying, trust. And now I'm putting all this together. You know, God say, trust him. And then I was praying for the presence of God, to know his presence. And you know what? He is revealing this to me now. He is showing me his presence. He is showing me that I can trust him. And I thank God for it. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that it was nothing but him. And I thank God for everything he's doing in my life. And I thank God, because he will never fail me.
Amen. Praise Jesus. So good. We found out that Priscilla has Walmart daughters. Love it. I love it. Anybody else? You want to come next? Do you hear your name? I love it. Give her a hand. It's hard to come up here like this.
Okay, so if I have my back towards you, it's because I don't speak in front of other people like that so much so quickly. But my name is Laji, and I just want y'all all to know that everything that happened to me because God said it was time for me to continue my journey from where I was to where I am today because of him. So by the grace of God, I'm here. Everything everyone said, I see myself in a lot of their testimonies and in a lot of their conversations. And I've been going through some stuff. Of course, COVID is being blamed for a whole lot of stuff. And I was doing pretty good until COVID, and then all of a sudden, little by little, I'm trying to come back. And Priscilla invited me to come to the church for her birthday. And so therefore, in doing so, I've been coming once in a while. And I'm sure you guys have seen me once in a while. And then I got invited to come to this woman's retreat thing. And I was like, okay. And I'm glad I did. A lot of things were said. I've seen a lot. I felt a lot. I experienced a lot emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And it was an awesome feeling because I felt all over again that I was being born again. Without the freezing water that I got dipped in when I first got baptized. But I was born again. And washing my hands after the piece of paper, as Priscilla mentioned, we wrote or checked off. And reflecting on that piece of paper. Things from my past as well as my present. I just about checked everything. That's my journey. But God's the one who pulled me through it all. So that's why I'm here, to be able to say the things that I say. Things that I was ashamed of, but I no longer have to be, because I'm not the only one that's done any of those things. And because of him, he gives me the time and the opportunities on when to share my testimonies. And Lord knows, I have a long list. I'm not perfect. But I'm realizing no one else is either. Because every time someone speaks of their testimonies, I'm hearing my life. And I'm like, oh my God, so I'm not by myself. You know, every time I feel isolated, I'm not. Because there's other people who feels isolated. So when I shredded mine, I didn't only shred it. I felt him say, you don't have to worry no more. Because you yoked yourself with me. So now your burdens are light, because I took your burdens upon my shoulders. So, and then to follow that, I picked up a rock. And to go back a little bit before I tell you about that rock. When I got baptized, and I spoke to Kendra about this, when I got baptized, I wanted to get baptized at the church that I was at, but they were going to do it in a pool. Because I refused to go into an ocean. But Jesus got baptized in the Jordan River. That's the dirtiest water. But the ocean is also dirty. And I didn't want to get in it. I don't even like the ocean. I like to see it, but I don't like to get wet by it. Anyway, I was explaining to her that we did a woman's retreat because I was in a Mary and Martha group, and we went to do our closing out on it, and we went to Nag's Head, and they promised me that they would find me a pool, because I wasn't going to go to the retreat, and they said, oh, we could baptize you in the pool, and I was going to surrender my life and everything at the church to go to the YMCA to get baptized in the pool. They said, no, come, so I went, because they promised me I would have a pool. Well, that promise didn't happen. The Lord said, you're getting baptized in the ocean. And that was in March. And I was basking on the roof of the, well, it was the porch of the house we were renting. And I was like, Lord, please let it be a low tide. And I'm praying about everything of how I'm trying to talk myself out of getting put in that water. And everything went beautifully. And so then I go in, and I'm covered from head to toe, socks, spandex, a sweatshirt. And I'm like, I'm not going in that water. But in the process of it all, we go to the beach. I find a little shell, and it's black. It looked like an onyx. And it was tiny, and I picked it up because I like the onyx stone. And I had one of the young ladies hold it for me. And then they take me to the water. And I'm like, okay. So we're walking to the water, and all of a sudden, I'm like, it's cold. So then they says, okay, well, let's run. So we're running, and we're running, and we're running. And I'm like saying, oh, my God. So then as I turn myself back, so now I turn myself back. He allowed me to face you all now. Because they told me to not look back, to look forward. And we ran, and we still ran. And I'm like, oh my goodness, when I had looked back, I saw everybody was way back there. And I says, where do we stop? And they says, when we get there. And we got there. The water was still here, but they told me I had to get down on my knees. So I got down on my knees, and they spoke to me, and they asked me the questions, and they asked me, was I ready to surrender and, you know, give my life to Christ and be reborn? And I said, yes. And in that process, I get down like this. I put my hands across, and all of a sudden they says, you ready? And I says, I'm ready. And next thing you know, here, I didn't see because I'm looking at the people way over there. So they says, you're ready? And I don't see what's behind me because they told me to not look back, but I'm seeing the ones they said not to look back. And they didn't back. And I got dipped back, and what hits me? A big wave. A wave that was so big that when I got lifted up out of the water, I couldn't breathe. I felt the sun hit me. I saw this light shine on me. And all I was trying was to grasp my breath again. And in doing so, I felt him inside of me. Something I've never felt before because I was raised as a Catholic. I didn't know that, you know. I learned what a Catholic learns, but I didn't know that. And it was amazing on how it took us forever to get to the point of where I got baptized to when I got back with the rest of the group. Then they surrounded me, undressed me, got me dried and everything at the beach. I says, are you kidding? But when I asked the young lady to give me my shell back, she gave me my shell, and I took it, and I was just shivering like that. And when they said, well, what do you have? I says, I found this beautiful shell. And when I opened my hand, the shell split in half. And they were like, whoa. And I was like, whoa. And they says, Laji, that represents your old and your new. And therefore, from that point on, I took it. But then again, bringing us back to here, it took me a while. And everything that was said that I heard yesterday and on Friday, people told their stories, their testimonies, things that I learned. And where I didn't think I've forgiven someone in my life because they didn't come to see my mom at her last day, and she kept asking, is she coming? Is she here? No, Mom, she's not. No, Mom, she's not. And what it is I heard a story from a young lady about her situation. And it was my story. My sister didn't come to see my mom before she closed her eyes. She didn't speak to my mom for 2.5 years because she was angry at my mom. And my mom only wanted to say goodbye to her before closing her eyes, and she did not have that opportunity. My sister rejected all of her phone calls. I come from a family of 8 girls and 1 boy, and we all kept calling her, come, Mommy wants to see you, come, Mommy wants to see you, and she didn't. I was angry. I was devastated. And when one of my sisters that she does associate with called her, she spoke to her. And then she came and she says, hey, she's on the phone. And we're like, hey. And you know, her response to us was, I'm sorry for your loss. She's your mother. That's your mother. I thought we all were sisters. And she says, I'm sorry for your loss. Didn't you lose her? So I didn't know how to handle that. And then she calls me months later, and she tries to justify her reasons. I didn't want to hear it, and I didn't want to hear it. But her reason is, well, we got into an argument. I didn't want to go there because I didn't want to kill her right away. She was going to die one way or another. It was just when God needed her. And in doing that, I told her, you know what? I don't care how you felt. You were her first. She wanted to see you. We come underneath you. We would have been looking up to you, stepping in her place. But why would I want to look up to you now? Because you don't deserve that role, I felt. She's still my oldest sister. She's still in that line. But I was angry. And I was hurt because I said, how are you going to say you're lost? That was your loss too. But maybe she lost, she felt, I can't say that she lost my mom 2.5 years ago. But nonetheless, I struggled with it. And when I heard this young lady speak of her situation, it just brought me to say, did I really honestly forgive my sister thus far? Or am I still dealing with that? Because we're communicating, but not like we used to. And she just recently left, this week, just that one just went by. She called me on Tuesday and said, I sent you something. And when I got home on Wednesday, she sent me a package. It was nothing. It was just a container to hold paper towels, but it was something. And I was like, oh my God, I liked it because my other sisters have one that she gave, but I didn't get one and she just finally gave me one. But I'm in that position of mind of saying, did I really forgive her? Because when I got that gift, it brought up some more feelings. And when I heard this young lady's story, it brought up more. So my thing is, if you haven't forgiven anyone, please do so. Because I know that when I leave here today,
come on,
I'm going to call my sister. Yes. And I'm going to, not to rehash, but I'm going to let her know that I'm going to forgive her all heartedly. Internally.
Praise Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Because I can't keep going like this. You know, it hurts me deeply inside that there's that friction and that division in my family. And we were such a close and knitted family. And I just didn't understand that separation between her and my mom, because to see my mom close her eyes and not be able to see the eyes of the baby that she had for the first time, to look in the same eyes before she closed her eyes, devastated me. And I took it upon myself to carry that. And it's not my fight. And I have nothing to do with that. That's between her and the Lord.
Come on.
And she's got to face him one day, not me. I do too, but not for that situation, because I was there with my mom.
That's good. That's good.
But anyway, thank you for sharing. I took up enough. But it was a joyful event. And I'm glad that I came, because it helped me to start seeing more things and to finish the point of the process of the cross. I picked up a rock. I got my hands washed, and my rock said courage. So my courage is to stand here before you, to look at you and speak to you in person instead of giving you my back, because I have to look forward and not backwards. Thank you for the presentation.
So powerful, so powerful. That's what Jesus does, right? Comes into our mess. Is Cindy here?
No.
She's not here. Pam.
Not exactly used to doing things like this. I'm not one to get up and share my story. There's going to be a lot of ums. I didn't practice or anything. So I'm sure most of you know, I lost my husband unexpectedly in September 1st of 2021. Thankful things about the way he went. I was very crushed, devastated, horrified, lost with losing him. I lost him to COVID. But he was only in the hospital for 4 days. He was never on a respirator or any of that stuff. It wasn't this big, long, drawn-out, horrible, horrible, and never-ending process. He was just gone. So the fact that God was going to take him, I was thankful that he took him quickly, peacefully, just gone. But I prayed for months for God to take me too. Every night I went to bed and prayed to not wake up in the morning. I started going to a therapist, and I was telling her about that, and I was like, well, I would never kill myself because I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven and be with my husband. And so he looked at me and said, well, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. Okay, we didn't go back to the therapist. And so then I'm like, okay, you're not going to take me. Fine. At this point, you know what? I want him back. Okay? I just want him. I know he'll be a zombie. And I know it's going to be different, and it's not really going to be him, but I want him back. Just give him back to me. I can't do this without him. I want him back. And it's like, okay, that's really stupid. There's no such thing as zombies anyways. So I started praying that, okay, I'm still here. Give me my purpose. Why is it that I'm here? Now, I don't know yet. He's still working on that one. But going to the women's retreat this weekend was really the blessing. The forgiveness thing, my son would not even come in to the funeral service for my husband because he was scared of COVID. And then he wrote me this big, long, nasty, horrible email about all these horrible things that I did. And we didn't speak for like a year and a half. And then I decided enough's enough. And I called him. We talked for a while, come to find out he blames me for my husband getting COVID. Then in turn blames me for my husband dying. So again, the hurt all over again. I reached out to his wife. His wife shut me down like there's no tomorrow. But I forgave him this weekend.
I forgave him.
He's the one that's going to have to stand before God for what he did.
Yes.
And shutting my entire family out. He shut out my daughter. He shut out his niece and nephew. He's the one that's going to have to deal with it. It's off of my heart. It's off of my soul. I forgive him and his wife for their actions and words. And one of the things that we did with this weekend was being quiet with God and what was it called? Where the word? What was when God gives you the word? A new name. It didn't have to actually be a name. And I was sad because I didn't get a name. Everybody else is talking about their name. Somebody had enough and beloved. And yeah, exactly. Everybody else had all these names. And I was like, I didn't get a new name. Okay, God, I'm going to still hang with you. I got my name last night.
Yeah.
My name is Love.
Among the nations, right? Declare his wonders among the nations. Oh, we have Lorraine or Linda or Alyssa or anybody else. So this weekend I was asked by mom to do the worship. We had worship Friday night, Saturday morning, afternoon. And so, yeah, I was up there a lot. Last year I did it, but I'm growing every day. You go from glory to glory.
Come on.
So this year it was just so amazing to just see how much work God has actually done in my life.
Let's go.
And how much, like, confidence, boldness, that I had just to go up there and sing because I've surrendered my worship, surrendered my life. And so, yeah, I really just, I enjoyed doing that, and it really just blessed me to be able to create that space for all the women that were here. And, yeah, it's just growing in God is an everyday thing, and definitely the surrender I've learned, it's like, you got to do it. Even if you don't want to, you got to do it. Because he will, like, take you to places where you never thought you would go. Like, I used to be so nervous singing by myself and not playing piano right. But now it's like, if I mess up, who cares?
That's good.
Like, God's like, you messed up for me, you know? So I'm just thankful that even that I got to sing with my dad, it's just so amazing. And, yeah.
That's good. Thank you, Alyssa.
Sharon or Ange. These are all on the maybe list. Linda. We had all the Lindas there yesterday. That was so good. Linda Sutherland, Linda Palmer, Linda Gray.
Linda to the third power, right? How many times have I come to a woman's retreat to the church? I think every year that I've been here. And every year, it does not disappoint. You can never get enough.
Come on.
Because when you're sitting in the Lord's presence and you're hearing his word,
come on,
he's going to stir your heart. In Hebrews it said, his word is like a double-edged sword, cutting down to the very joint and marrow of our spirit. We don't have to work at it. We just have to hear it. And hearing the word of God, which was so beautifully given through every person, including Ange, who really wasn't mentioned as a speaker. But Ange gave a beautiful word on who am I. What I wanted to kind of say is I think I have experienced so many life-giving things through the years in my Christian walk. And I could never discount any year that the Lord has been working in my life. And so I'm blessed. I'm very blessed.
Sorry.
Happy is he who is in the Lord. And I am happy and blessed. They're always, because we live in this world, the world is, you know, it's Satan's playground. It's his domain, this world. And the Lord has allowed us to be in it. But in order not to be of it, we have to do a daily cleansing.
Come on.
It's a daily cleansing of his word, spending time in his word. It's a daily cleansing of being in fellowship, being with people who are also following Jesus so that we are sharpened, we are quickened. It's a daily process of actually bowing before the Lord for the things that he touches, puts his finger on in our heart. And when you come to, not a retreat, but a restoration, I changed the word this weekend for myself, a rest time of restoration, you are put in the place of actually sitting before the Lord and saying, Lord, this is where I need you. This is where I need to be cleansed. And that chance to actually name it, to repent, to receive his forgiveness, which is just always there, and then to be challenged to forsake that as you walk out of here, because you will be tempted to do the